Boom. What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the FPL Draft Duo podcast with myself, Nolesy, and my co-host, Jaxi. Hope you're all keeping well and you got the W in the draft this week.
Just a quick recap on last week. So we saw that nobody is safe from Brighton's rotation. Also, the second player this season to score three double-digit hauls in a row is none other than Kai Havertz. And lastly, Newcastle have kept a long-awaited clean sheet all the way since game week 17.
We had a very productive week on the waivers last week. Zuma banged a goal. Wissa with a belter of a bicycle kick. Johnson, double assist. Chan goal. Semenyo banged. Havertz haul. And Bradley got an 8-pointer. So as we know, this week's waivers is going to be hectic with the double game week coming up for Bournemouth and Luton. So we're going to talk through all the different questions that you've sent in and kind of rank double game week players against other game week players and see how we feel. So boom, straight into it. Question number one, Jack Maloney.
Question number one. So how do I stop losing by 1 point?
If we had the answer to that, it would be great. First thing, on a tactical point of view, get in players that are guaranteed starters. I know it might be hard this time of year, but your 2 and 3 pointers, we always say, are so, so valuable in the draft. On a more of a psychological point of view, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter this week, especially in normal fantasy, kind of complaining about, like, how are we supposed to have normal years when we have this happening? This guy got injured. This game was cancelled. As if, like, FPL is supposed to be perfect. Or let's say the Premier League is supposed to be perfect for FPL. So it's always going to be extremely hard to navigate FPL every year. There's COVID, there's injuries, there's players out of position. It's impossible. It's not a science. And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, like, why aren't content creators doing absolutely perfect? Why aren't they all hitting top 50k? Because it's such a rapidly changing environment. And the draft is just the same. So all we can do is put ourselves in the best possible position. If you're losing by 1 point, don't go on tilt like, let's say, normal, where you go rogue and bring in random players hoping they get hauls. Stick to the basics. Get them players with the 2 and 3 pointers in. Make the right decisions. And if you lose by 1 point, what can you do?
Yeah.
We kind of always, the draft at the end of the day, although it's serious, we take it serious, you cannot control it. And I think a lot of people want to control FPL as if it's like you should win if you do the right things.
If you're losing by 1 point, maybe you could be hitting 40 points, maybe 50 points every week. But I do feel if you are getting over 40 points, 45 points in a 12-man league, majority of the time you will win that draft. I know I drew this week myself on 46 points apiece after a Phil Foden haul. But yeah, once you're hitting that marker, you wouldn't be losing.
No, I think if I was hitting 45 points most weeks, I'd be happy. I'd take 45 points as a starting base. And we talked about it on a podcast with Chasing the Upside. And all you can do is put yourself in the best position. And sometimes it goes against you, the fixtures. And sometimes they go in your favor. So as long as you keep getting a relatively high tally, you're okay. If you are looking at it tactically, as I said, check your players. If you have a load of rotating players, that might be the issue. But yeah. It's a very hard question to answer.
I think one thing that helped me get the edge a lot of the times is just checking injuries, last minute injuries.
Definitely.
They're just little things like that can actually, you bring in a player that nobody else thought of for a very good fixture. So if you're on Twitter, there's lots of good sources there
for getting FPL Draft Duo.
For getting like last minute injury updates, and that's what I use.
And keep listening to the podcast. Yeah. That's the number one. That is the number one tip.
But realistically, looking at fixtures, injuries, looking at boys that are on set pieces, the eye test, watching some of the games yourself. I know you can't watch all the games, but once you bring all those factors into consideration and then come up with the players that you want to pick, after that, once the throwing happens, there's not much more you can do after
listen
that.
Listen to the FPL Draft Duo. as we go on to the next question, thank you so much for all the support over the last couple of weeks. We've got a lot of new messages, just encouraging messages. It's actually unbelievable. So thank you very much. Our homework for you is to tell one friend. I know it might be tough because you're against them, but more the podcast grows, the more time we can put in, and the better waivers we can give you. So thanks very much, but also tell a mate.
Sweet. On to the questions. So same as last week, defenders, midfielders, and then we also have a kind of a bit of a dilemma at the end. No striker questions this week. As always, like, strikers are few and far between. But starting off with the defender questions. So question one, Dolce. I have Verbruggen, Estupiñán, and Van Hecke, but the waivers are weak. Should I risk it or continue with those? So should they risk and waiver out all three, or continue with those three Brighton assets?
And perfect time to talk about Brighton's rotation. Crazy, crazy rotation. This week, the likes of Pascal Gross benched, Fatty didn't get the start, Lallana started, Ferguson started, so on and so forth. No Benenante either. So we know that Brighton have serious, serious rotation, even in the goalkeeper industry, or department, sorry.
Yeah.
Verbruggen, not guaranteed to start, didn't start last week. So if we go through them players, first and foremost, Verbruggen, I would definitely be looking to waiver him out unless you have steel or unless you can get steel in. Brighton don't have the best run of fixtures from after this game week, so maybe you can look to get him out regardless. The only way you can hold a Brighton keeper is if you have both, because there is no predicting who's going to play. Estupiñán, we said last week, give one more week and hope he starts, and he did, and he played in a left wing position. He got really, really high up the pitch, but ended up on a zero pointer as far as I'm aware.
Yep.
Played the 90 minutes. So I think if you have Estupiñán, you hold him for the Forest game. Both Estupiñán and Van Hecke might be a drop after the Forest game. They have a very, very tough run of fixtures. So I would be looking, and this is the kind of way I would play it, because he got the start, Estupiñán, I would play him and hope he gets another start against Forest, because he has a very, very high upside. Whereas Van Hecke, he's a solid player, and maybe if you're the player that's losing by one pointer, you don't want to listen to this, but Van Hecke is going to be a solid starter. The reason I say only get one is because we kind of looked at Forest and we're like, they have a seriously good chance at scoring.
Yep.
All the boys on the counter attack as well. So I wouldn't be going tripling down and saying, yeah, I want a Forest clean sheet this or a Brighton clean sheet this week. I would probably be getting rid of one of them just to kind of spread your bets. Okay, they're not the best team to invest defensively, and Estupiñán has a really, really high upside. So I think you kind of go for broke, Estupiñán one more week. And I would be looking to definitely get rid of Van Hecke after this week. Definitely a good pickup if you don't have him this week. But if you have two Brighton defenders, I'd be getting rid of one in preparation for them tough fixtures. And I just think it's easier to keep Estupiñán with the high upside.
Couldn't have put it better myself. but yeah, Estupiñán, we know from last season, the high ceiling that he has, he's just a bit more attractive than the likes of your Van Hecke, who hasn't returned
yet this season. No goals, no assists.
On to the next question. So Van Hecke is included in this as well. So Zabarnyi for Van Hecke or Chris Richards?
And I would go, yeah. If you're attacking that double game week 28, I would get rid of Van Hecke. And that's only because I'm not crazy confident on a Brighton clean sheet. And because of the run of fixtures that Brighton have, I think they play like City, Arsenal in the next two after 29. You're probably going to get rid of him anyways. And Zabarnyi, double game week player, easy. I know Richards plays Luton, then they blank, and then they have a couple of, like, from now to the end of the season, they have some very good fixtures. So any of them Palace boys, as we mentioned last week, could be season-long holds if you can rotate them with another defender. And Zabarnyi for game week 28, I think in that case is a no-brainer. In other cases, as we'll see later on, it might be a bit more difficult.
Yeah. The likes of Mitchell may be a better option than Chris Richards if you're looking for Palace assets.
Yeah.
Last question. Is Zabarnyi for Bournemouth decent for game week 28?
Of course he's decent for game week 28. Now, we are going to talk about Tavernier and Bournemouth boys at length in a bit, but they're good, but like, they just lost Senesi, and he's been stalwart for the season. They'll have another player in who we will mention on the waivers, but they're not going to be like rock solid. So I wouldn't be giving away massive players that are probably in your team for the rest of the season just for a double game week of Bournemouth. Now, the thing is that if you get in another defender that plays 29, you're not actually gaining any fixtures over the short term by picking a Bournemouth defender because they blank in 29. So yes, if you want to attack the fixtures 1 week at a time, definitely a good option. But I think later on we'll figure out, like, can't put all our eggs in their basket, because we've seen it many, many times before in normal and in draft this season specifically, that they're not the be-all and end-all. Great options, but think long-term also.
Like when I triple captain De Bruyne for the double game week and he got me a total of
2 points, was it?
2 points.
4 points?
So what's that? 6 points in a double game week. So yeah, even Man City assets aren't bulletproof in a double game week. Next question, onto the midfielders. Is it too early to pick up Bryan Mbeumo?
And we are going to say the illustrious quote, it's team dependent. I think if you can stack him, I think he's a good pickup. Now, just to note, there is going to be an international break between game week 29 and 30. And that gives a lot of these players that have injuries, we have a full long list, and we'll only really talk about the relevant ones. But Mbeumo is one of them. And there's talks about just after the international break. If he's back game week 30 and you can hold him, 100%. He plays 33 to 37, Sheffield, Luton, Everton, Fulham and Bournemouth. You can't really get much better fixtures than that. Now, we'll talk about it later on as well, but there could be a lot of those teams that are fighting relegation, which might change it slightly. But I think if you have space, which it might be hard to come by over the next couple of weeks with doubles and, you know, blanks and stuff, but it's not really that long. I think if I wasn't so focused on 29, I'd be going from this week myself. But yeah.
Did he play in the AFCON or was he injured?
He was injured for the AFCON.
AFCON. So he's been out for three.
Yeah, he's been out for a couple of months. So that has to come into it as well. If he's fit for 30, does he play 30? Could be 31. You'd really, really be playing the long game. So you really have to be set up for it or else you will suffer points.
Yeah.
So if you have essentially 14 players that you're confident with that you can rotate around and so on and so forth, I would definitely be picking them up. But if you're struggling and you're really planning ahead and saying, well, I can't play this defender that week and I can't play this midfielder, you might be stuck a bit. But yeah, in short, if you can hold them 2 or 3 weeks, which is not a long time, definitely worth a pickup.
Super. Next question. What do I do with Jacob Ramsey?
Jacob.
Man, you break your heart.
Every time.
More than any woman would.
Yeah. Every time he becomes a good option, he gets injured straight away. Another foot injury, and that's where his previous injury was. I don't know if it's the exact same one. But I just think you have to drop him. I think, especially if it's a foot again, and he's just heartbreaking. He can never get a run of more than 3 or 4 games without getting injured. So I think this could be just the end of a season in terms of as an FPL pick. I would be looking to some of the waivers that we're going to talk about, definitely as a more solid pick for long term than Jacob Ramsey, unfortunately.
Extremely talented player, and with a few of Villa's injuries as well prior to, how he got into the squad, was a couple of injuries, playing well, and then just goes and does his foot again. So
typical.
Yeah, he is a drop, and then when he does, or if he does come back before the end of the season, I wouldn't be looking at
him. No, I'd be so hesitant, because even if he comes back and fires, it's only a game or two. And we've learned that lesson. That's like the third time this season.
Yeah. In short, Ramsey's getting
whipped.
Getting the boot. Next question. Trade options for Neto. I suppose, just to caveat that for a few people listening. Neto is flagged on FPL at the moment.
Yeah.
Picked up a knock over the weekend.
I think it was a strain or something, to say that was a strain. I think it could be the hamstring again.
Yeah.
I don't know if exactly what injury it is, but I just always feel that, especially when players come back from injury and get slightly injured again, it's never a good sign.
No.
It's a sign that something's not right. And we talked about this when Neto was coming back initially, and we're saying, how often do players come back from an injury, get a secondary injury, and then are okay for the season?
Yeah.
It's usually like Jacob Ramsey, if you pick up a second knock again, it's the body is not 100% perfect, and this is an example.
Like Huang as well. Huang was injured,
that's right,
came back, and then they said he had a knock in the warm up, played that game, was shite, didn't return.
That's right,
I think he only
actually
had a couple of touches in the box, and then injured.
Yep. Same thing happened with Elise. Same thing happened with Eze. So although Eze is a fantastic pick going forward, he got 66 minutes. I think that was obviously precautionary, finally. But I would still be, and I love Eze and I want to get him in my team. He still has that, you know, asterisk over his name where it's like, he's had a couple of injuries this season and it could easily go again. So sorry, that's just kind of background of Neto's situation. That's why this person's probably trying to get rid of Neto.
Yeah. So a couple of trade options if you did want to get rid of him. The likes of Leon Bailey will be in and around it. A consistent starter now for Villa. Kulusevski of Spurs, they both play in the 29. Kudus then, West Ham seem to be back in a bit of form. Now that Paqueta is back, Bowen playing through the middle. And Kudus, yeah, had a very, very good game the last day. Last one, bit of a punt, but Luis Diaz of Liverpool.
Yeah, if you got that over the line, you'd be doing well. If I had to rank them four players that we've just said there, I'd put Luis Diaz top. I would love to get Luis Diaz. How he didn't return against Forest, I don't know. Next down the list, probably Kudus or Bailey. Hard to pick between them two. And then Kulusevski, that's kind of just of a nail starter and a decent attacking side. Nothing too exciting. I think the player that was getting Neto would jump at that, providing he's injured. Yep. Providing Neto is 100% injured, I don't think I'd trade Kulusevski for him. But if this kind of murmurs of him kind of, you know, not 100%, I'd probably take my chances with a more solid pick.
Nice one. Next question, on to a bit of Bournemouth discussion. So what are your thoughts on Tavernier? And then after that, would you trade or waiver in Tavernier for either Garnacho, McGinn or Rodri?
Yeah, so we have written down here that Tavernier has only returned four times this year. He's had one haul against United, like a 9-pointer, and then like a 13-pointer against Sheffield, I think it was. So a lot of people are putting serious pressure on Tavernier to return this double game week, as I have myself. I've had him since Christmas. And this is the kind of problem with the Bournemouth boys, is that we're putting all our eggs in their basket this game week. Now, the only thing about Tavernier is that he's three decent fixtures after, but the value of Tavernier is seriously compromised if he does not return 28. He could get a nice little score and it could finally pay off, but in terms of like trading Garnacho, McGinn or Rodri, you could easily have them in your team for the rest of the year. Like Rodri could start every game, tick along, you don't know when he's going to return. McGinn is kind of similar, and Garnacho is nailed down a position in the United team from now until probably the end of the season. I personally think Garnacho will score more points than Tavernier from now to the end of the season. That means that you're kind of thinking, is it McGinn or Rodri? And again, McGinn has scored 101 points this year. Rodri has scored more than that.
Six goals, three assists.
Rodri with two assists the last day again. I just really feel that if you're picking Tavernier over them, what you're doing is you're going for short term. You're going for hopefully the double game week and then probably keeping him for another two or three game weeks, hoping that he kind of does well in them easy fixtures. And if he doesn't, you have now someone who's going to go on the waiver. You have someone who is relatively low trade value. So what I'm trying to say is that the likes of the Garnacho, McGinn, the Rodri's, people that will probably be in your team for the rest of the season, you really have to consider, am I willing to give them away? And am I willing to have none of these players come maybe 33? Because after 33, Tavernier could possibly be a waiver option. And I know I've blown smoke up his hole the last couple of weeks, but he hasn't returned. I thought he'd have at least one return by now. Coming into a double game, we'd get a return or two and then possibly have him for the next three. But I watched him against Burnley and he was okay. Yeah. He did whip some nice balls in, but it wasn't like I need to have this guy for the double. So he's definitely a good option. But when you're getting him in this week, consider what you're going to do after them good fixtures.
If Solanke is out as well, it they don't have that target man.
I know, and you think that, oh, well, that means he's more time. But like, if Solanke's not playing, Bournemouth's attack and threat is seriously compromised. And yeah, I personally wouldn't waver him out. I think from a non-biased perspective, it's easy to say that. I think if you're looking at it, I think it's easy to get him in. I just think you've got to play the long game and make sure that you're happy at 33 to possibly have one of your midfielders now a waiver option. And I think I had a small bit about this in the start kind of notes, was don't overvalue double game week assets. Because what you might be doing is adding a possible waiver to your team. So you're getting in the likes of the Lutons or whatever you want, and you're getting in loads of them. And now, them places in your team are waiver places. Because it's very, very hard, especially at this stage of the season, to pick up a waiver that is going to remain in your team for the season. You're probably going to have to look at it one or two game weeks at a time and pick a player that's good fixtures, which is good and can really reap rewards. But if you're against everyone else, picking them players every week, and then you eventually don't get them, and you're left with Tavernier versus a Liverpool or something, you know, he's way less likely to return on any given day than Garnacho, McGinn or Rodri, which is mad to say. So, in short, Tavernier, good option in the short term, but you have to be willing to be giving up one of those midfielder spots for a waiver in maybe game week 32, 33. And if you are, go for it. But if you want to have a consistent team for the rest of the season, I would say play it safe and don't overvalue. On the contrary, I wouldn't mind trading some of them. Them Bournemouth boys that everyone's after this week. We saw it with Morris at the start of the season. We saw it with Liverpool assets, the Jottas and all them. When they're high, they won't get any higher. And he could return in that double. But after that, his kind of time to shine is over. If you could get a decent midfielder, if you could get like Kulusevski, if you could get maybe a Kudos with someone else, I think that'd be a better step for your team going forward.
100%. Yeah, if you're looking, it'd probably be a double transfer. It would be very hard to get like for like, I reckon, for Tavernier, just with the double game week coming up. Super. So, well, I suppose your draft strategy style would be, you'll be going for the long term. You want to ensure that you're
my team right now is all for game week 29, the blank game week. But I think they're kind of, I have it done out, right, in my head, that I now have three waiver positions. So that I'm happy to keep 12 of my players for like the relative short to long term, and I have three players that I'm going to use as a waiver fodder, that if a good defender's on the waiver or midfielder, that I can bring them in and I can take a chance on them. But if I have like four or five players that, you know, any given week you could trade a waiver for, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, there's, and they're midfielders, just to note, there's nothing worse when you have like a stacked midfield, when you have five very good midfielders, and you're, because I had Szoboszlai for a while, and I'm like, oh, is he too good to waiver out?
Yeah.
And let's say Tavernier was on the waiver, I wouldn't have that ability. It's like, oh, maybe I need to hold Szoboszlai. So I suppose it's hard to find that sweet spot of having your waiver options,
mm-hmm.
and not having a two stack, but having your waiver options, and then not having too many waiver options. So your team goes all over
100%,
the place.
100%, man.
So you don't want to, if you attack the fixtures too much, you're left with waiver players.
Yep. So you do want to find that sweet spot where the players that you have in your team are, you're happy to waiver them out when they have poor fixtures, or you're happy to keep them in your team kind of long term. The likes of the Szoboszlais, they're good, decent options, good players for decent teams, but as Jaxie said, they're kind of just above that threshold where it's like, oh, will I give away him for Jordan Ayew this week?
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to do that, well then, are they the best positions, or the best players in them positions statistically to get you the points? And if they're not, I think they got to go.
Nice one. So moving on to our last midfielder question, and it's bringing it back to Brighton. So what are your thoughts on Adingra?
Yeah, my thoughts on Adingra are that don't get too bogged down by his benching. We said it numerous times when we're picking him up, he's still a rotation risk, but he does have that high upside. He didn't start the last day, I expect him to start the next day. Chasing the upside, there you go, man. And I seen a lot of people on Reddit, I was on the FPL page in Reddit. One fella was wavering out Adingra for Alvarez of West Ham. That is something I definitely wouldn't do, unless you were really need to get game week 29 players. But we have a long list of that. Don't worry about that. And Adingra, I think he'll start the next day. So don't worry too much about it. I think you definitely keep him another week and keep him for the Forest game before wavering out for like, you know, a mid-tier midfielder like Alvarez, just because he scored.
Yeah, or even this week, because Adingra didn't start the last day, like, will I waver him out? You might look at Bournemouth boys, you might look at, I don't know, Kluivert or someone like that. But I wouldn't do that, personally. I'd hold on to Adingra.
Cool, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that could be someone's thought process.
Yeah. I could understand someone going for a Clive or for Adingra, though, if they want to do it short term. I can definitely understand that. But yeah, maybe playing the long game might be a bit better.
Sweet. Last question. I own Salah, Hoyland, and Pedro Porro. Do I move one or just run it, hoping they'll all be back soon? So, yeah, all these boys injured. Salah, when are they returning?
So Salah is on the way back. He's on the right track. Apparently, he's in contention for game week 28. So Porro is the same, I think. Porro is in contention.
Last week when Ange had the presser, he was asked about Adoji and Pedro Porro, and he said, yeah, Adoji, yeah, he'll feature, which he did, he started, and he said Pedro Porro would be another week, so I expect Pedro Porro to feature this weekend.
So there you go, that's 2 out of 3, and Hoyland's kind of similar, where he had an injury that kept him out for 2 or 3 weeks a week ago, and yeah, he should be back soon. So first and foremost, I don't think you're going to get crazy trade value for the likes of Hoyland because he's currently injured. Maybe someone might want to take the chance. Porro is kind of similar. You know, what way could you upgrade? Salah should be back. I think the only way we saw this is maybe you get a small bit of trade value for Hoyland.
I was thinking there. Let's say if you had Hoyland and you had another pretty decent striker, because strikers are very few and far between. Mm-hmm. If you had another pretty decent striker, you could get a good trade over the line for a double trade.
Mm-hmm.
Hoyland and one of your waiver midfielders, let's say, and a fairly decent
midfielder. And forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could transfer Hoyland possibly into two players if someone was willing to take it, because we know he's back soon. It's not like it's an unknown time. If you really wanted to spread your bets, because Salah's coming back, he's high trade value, you could probably get 3 good players for him. You could probably get like a Gordon or a Bowen, and like a really good Arsenal defender, even though they have some tough fixtures, or a really good striker. I don't know if I'd be doing that myself, especially when he's coming back. For me personally, I would hold on to all 3 of those. Porro looks like he's coming back 28, possibly. Salah's the same, and Hoyland's a week or two. So I know it might be tough. We have a blank game week 29, so, you know, international break as well. Therefore, by the next time you really need them, they'll probably be back on the pitch.
Sweet. That's all the questions.
Boom. On to our waiver section of the podcast, and a lot of the players that we have discussed will feature again. We know from last week that Ramsdale will start in goal for Arsenal against Brentford this week. We said last week, only if you have a non-playing keeper, get rid. If you wanted to get him in for 1 week, if you had the likes of even a Verbruggen, and you wanted to continue taking your chance with keepers in the waiver, could be an option. If you have two playing keepers, I don't think it's worth the risk. It's literally going to be for one game week. Moving on to our defenders, and I have a list of loads of defenders, and it depends on how you want to play the game. I have ranked the six teams that I think players will be available from for the blank game week 29 and the double game week in order of worst to best. So we have Burnley worst, West Ham, Fulham, Forest, Bournemouth, and Luton. And you know what? I'm not even 100% sure on these, but I definitely know Burnley, West Ham, and Fulham aren't the best teams to invest in. Forest, Bournemouth, and Luton have some very decent options. So I suppose we'll start at the bottom and we'll go through the Burnley asset, just the one, for the possible 28 and 29. Because they play in 29, that's the only reason I'd be picking up a Burnley defender. They play West Ham and Brentford, and Vitinho, who played essentially a right wing for Burnley and is down as a defender. So if you want a player that's out of position that's playing 29, Vitinho played very, very well the last day. I think he racked up 0.58 XGI, something like that. He was unlucky not to return.
They're the cheat codes that you kind of want to look out for, defenders.
Him against Brentford might be a nice little stack in your team. West Ham, thank God Zuma got the header. I had him in my team, but to no avail. Zuma, Emerson, and Soufal, 3 very good options. They play Burnley this week, and they play in that blank game week 29 against Villa. They play Newcastle and Spurs after that. So again, I have these down the list because they're relatively short term. Moving on up the list, we have Fulham at number 4. Castagne and Robinson, two wing backs who get relatively high up the pitch. They play Wolves this weekend. Now, I have them kind of slightly up because Wolves are missing a lot of players. Hee Chang, who, if you have him, is a drop. Cunha is missing. And Neto is flagged, but probably should play. So they're losing a lot of their attacking potential. Therefore, you never know, could get a clean sheet this week. The problem is they play Spurs in Game Week 29, and we know Spurs can score a serious amount of goals.
They've got one of the longest running goal streaks in the Premier League.
That's it, official now, I think.
Yeah.
But they do play Sheffield and then Forest, 30 and 31. So you could probably get 3 out of 4 games out of them. So not bad options. Number 3, Forest. Nico Williams at wing-back and Toffolo at left-back. They play Brighton this weekend. They play Luton 29, so that's a really good fixture for that blank game week 29. That's why I have them so high, because a good fixture in that 29 could be worth like 2 somewhere else. And then they play Palace and Fulham 30-31. So again, out of the next 4 games, you can probably get 3 plus a Luton. And then Bournemouth, second. I have them second just because I don't want to overhype them. They play Luton and Sheffield. They have had injuries, so I'm not saying they're rock solid. They're very, very good options. Very good options. But they don't play 29. They play Everton 30, who we can know score goals. Palace, possibility of scoring goals. And Luton. So they are fairly high because they play Luton twice. They play Sheffield. They play Everton, Crystal Palace. You could probably get 4 or 5 fixtures out of them over the next 5 game weeks because they have that double. So essentially, you're getting 5 games out of them. It's like they play in 29, essentially. Obviously, our options there are Zabarni, Kirkes, Smith, and Wepham.
Wepham, yeah.
He will be in there now. I'm hoping to pronounce that right.
Yeah, we both probably pronounced it wrong.
Yeah. He will be in there now because of Senesi's injury. And Senesi done his hammer. I don't know how badly. I personally think he's going to be out of the double both games, just because of the way he went down and how early he went down. So I think he's now not an option unless we get positive news. And it's a bit early. You can't bring him in hoping he just gets the Sheffield game. Unfortunately, if you have Senesi, Wepham is the kind of easy swap. So as I said, Luton, Sheffield, 29. No fixture, blank. Everton, Palace and Luton. So a nice run of fixtures. And then I have top of the list, Luton. Just because they all have the ability to return as well. Doughty, obviously, number 1. Doughty, if I had to pick of all of these players, all of these defenders, Doughty would be my number 1 pick. If I had to keep going with Luton as my number 1 team, we have some good options. And I think the availability of these players is good as well. Minji now looks like he could be nailed down because of the Osho injury. They have loads of injuries at the back. Essentially, the players I'm going to read out are the only remaining defenders. Kabore started right wing. So Kabore is now back as an option and got really, really far forward. Played again as nearly a right winger as he did at the start of the season. So Doughty, Minji, Kabore, and Burke now looks like he's going to get another start because of the Osho and possible Bell injury. And if there's no positive news on Bell, we have their new signing, Hashioka, who could possibly play. So if you're not confident and if there's no news on Bell, you now possibly have 3 or 4 players to pick from that Luton side for that double game week of Crystal Palace and Bournemouth. So Doughty, nearly certainly taken. Minji, I would probably rank it. Kabore, Minji, Burke, and then Hashioka because it's to do with Bell's injury.
Yeah, he only got a couple of minutes the last day as well.
30-something.
Yeah.
So
the one for Townsend as well, I believe.
Yeah, so I think if any of them are injured, he has a good option. But I'd probably go with my more nailed ones, Minji, Burke, possibly Kabore. Before we kind of make decisions, we have to hear some news. They play, as I said, Palace and Bournemouth in 28. They play 29, they play Forest. They play Spurs, Arsenal, 2 tough fixtures, and then Bournemouth. So they're top of the list because they have a double and then play 29. And they also have 1 more good fixtures after that. So you might get 4 out of the 5 game weeks. You might get 4 fixtures. So I think because of attacking potential, I think because of the double and the fact they play 29, Luton have to be up there with one of the best teams. All of these are very poor defensively. So you kind of just have to play and hope.
Yeah, well, like a lot of them have, like Fitinho going from the top, played very forward, possibility, or has that attacking threat. Zuma, you know he has the aerial threat. Soufal has an attacking threat. Castagne and Robertson. Robertson has 4+ assists, I think, this season.
Yeah. Nico Williams gets very far forward.
Very far forward. He was at fault for one of the goals last day. It was a header. He's not that great in the air. Toffolo.
He did some decent returns at the start of the year.
Decent. And then the doublers of Bournemouth and Luton. So, look.
I think you would look at the Luton and Bournemouth boys more so because they have doubles. If you really, like, there's the guts of 12, 13 players there that are all possibilities for either doubles or blank game weeks. So there's loads to choose from. As I said, I'd go Burnley at the bottom, West Ham, Fulham, Forest, Bournemouth, and then at top, Luton.
I hope Vitinho isn't one of those cases of he looked really, really good when we watched him.
Yeah.
Good underlying statistics, and then...
I really like him just because we watched him. I hate to see him all the way down there in sixth. Anyways, other players that, you know, aren't doublers and so on and so forth. Brentford, Reguilon, another assist. Really, really good asset. I think he could be one if you were willing to bench him. They have some very good fixtures from 33 onwards that he is definitely worth a hold if you had him and you could make space for him. Because from 33 to 37, Reguilon will be hot property in the defensive areas. Just another note on some defenders, so kind of some questions. Livermento came on for Trippier. He might start the next game week, but Trippier said it's just a strain in his calf, that it won't be anything major. Hopefully he'll be back. As we said, there's an international break as well. So you might get Livermento this week for Chelsea. Then they have a blank. So I wouldn't be going too heavy on Livermento and going over the top. I would still definitely be looking short term to the doublers or to the 29 players before I go Livermento, just because it doesn't seem like Trippier's injury is too bad and we have a lot of time before you kind of want to pick them up anyways. And then finally, just a little note on the Digne and Moreno. Moreno actually got the start, but Digne came on and bagged the goal. So hopefully from last week's advice, you started Digne. Jack Maloney.
Silent.
Jaxy lost because he had Digne on the bench.
Yeah.
So he always finds a way to hurt us.
Look at Digne. Doesn't start the game. Comes on. Plays 11 minutes. Scores a goal. Gets a 7-pointer. And I had him first sub. Didn't come on. And I didn't lose. I drew the game week. I would have won.
I think it's worse.
Yeah. As I said at the start of the podcast, your man had Foden with a 15-pointer. So between that and Luka Digne, they're both in the bad books for me.
Yeah, so Digne, does he get the start this week after the goal? It's hard to know. I thought he'd get the start. That's why I said to start him, just in case. It's still the same situation with the Digne-Moreno thing. I wouldn't like to be getting any of them. I wouldn't like to be giving away, just in case you have a 29 player. But I wouldn't actually mind giving either of them away.
I can't give any advice on Luka Digne or Moreno. I need to step back from this. I'd have too much of an unbiased opinion.
Right, so yeah, Digne, Moreno, is that kind of tussle is still going. Reguilon, very good long-term asset. And then on to our midfielders. We have divided this into short-term and long-term. And then someone we've already talked about, Mbeumo. If you can stack him until game week 30 or 31, fantastic option. So we won't kind of go over him again because from 33 to 37, as we said, very, very good fixtures. We'll start with our short-term options. We'll start from the bottom. Christie for Bournemouth. Again, these Bournemouth boys, I'm telling you. He came off with a knock, so he's a possible doubt. That's why he's bottom of the list. Now, if he's fit, the more than likely he's going to start because he has been one of the most nailed players this season. But attacking threat, as we said last week, very low. I think he's 2 assists. If you want to get the numbers up, yeah. I would probably be going for Kluivert after a very good performance the last day and a good goal. He's the double game week, but he's going to be a very short term because after that, rotation risk, you know, he's not a 90-minute man. So double, very good option. If we are looking for 29 players short term, Odegaard, another fantastic performance for Burnley at the weekend. He's one of them players that caught your eye, that, you know, racked up some good XG, didn't return. So if you do want a player for the 29 fixture, Odegaard in midfield against Brentford would be a very good pickup, providing there's no better options, I suppose. And top of the list, although he has a knock, is Jordan Ayew. Our boy returned again. I think he's playing Luton, as far as I'm aware. And yeah, if he's fit, I think it's a no-brainer. He will be high up the list for a lot of people. Palace actually do. It's not really short-term, because Palace has some very good long-term fixtures. And hopefully he'll be nailed down for the rest of the season. If you're looking longer-term, our boy, another man that features a lot, Doucouré. Doucouré does play United in 28. Now, United will have to come out swinging because, again, another loss to City as expected. They cannot keep losing games. So I think there will be space in that United midfield for Doucouré to attack. He also is a big game player, and some of the fixtures late on could suit him. They do blank in 29, which is unfortunate, but they play Bournemouth after. Then they play Newcastle. Then they play Burnley. So, like, as a rotating midfielder, if you have a good squad, or even against Newcastle, you can start him. From 34 to 37, they play Forest, Brentford, Luton, and in the second last game, they play Sheffield. So, although a lot of those games, as we said previously, could be very tight because there's relegation going on, we said he's a big game player. Banged the goal to keep them up last season.
Yeah.
Was it two seasons ago?
Last season.
Yeah, last season. And they play Sheffield, who could be, will probably, definitely be relegated by 37. So you never know. That could be a bit of a rout. Now, usually when it comes to them games, it might be like a rotated team, but Everton will be struggling to stay up. They'll be fighting. So them games, Forest, Brentford, Luton, Sheffield will be playing their best teams, and Doucouré is a man for a late goal.
Forest, there is talks of that point deduction, so like they'll be fighting for it as well. Like,
yeah, there'll be a lot of tough games, and I think it'll go either one way or the other. There'll be very tentative, low-scoring games, or there'll be all hell breaking loose.
Yeah.
Because some teams, if they concede the first goal, will have to go for it. So it actually might suit players that are attacking, that will like hope to get far off the pitch and get some return. So yeah. Doucouré, just again, because I love him, looking at his like next 10 fixtures, there's like 6 of them that are very, very good that you can play him and just like, you know, be happy to have him in your team. And then on to our forwards. It is the worst selection of forwards that I've ever seen in my life. Most of them are taken. The likes of possibly Werner might not be picked up. But at the same time, Richarlison apparently is fit for 28.
Yeah.
We put up Johnson as a waiver last minute free agent last week. So make sure you're following on Twitter to get them kind of last minute pieces of information. Now, it's changed since. I thought Johnson, we'd have him down in our list. But because Richarlison's back, that now knocks Johnson and Werner down. So Werner might be a good pickup, just because he might get more game time if Richarlison continues to be out. And Werner got the goal, so, you know, bodes well for him. If you're in a large league and you need minutes, and somehow your team is in a position that you need Divock Origi, because he's getting some minutes off the bench, and started the previous game, or Osula, who played 45 minutes for Sheffield, you really need to have a look at your team. Now, a kind of bit more of just a 1 or 2 pointer player, as we said, Antonio. I've seen him still on a lot of waivers. If you have a non-playing striker, like a striker that's definitely not going to be playing for the next couple of weeks, Antonio plays 29. He might get you a 1 pointer.
Yeah, he came on, what, 88 minutes?
Yeah, so like Origi, again, is getting a few minutes here and there. He, I think, will not start the next day. Origi for a couple of minutes, a 1 or 2 pointer, hopefully he gets a return. And then Osula, if you're very, very badly stuck, played the last hit, but I don't expect him to be productive or exciting in any way whatsoever. Yeah, so that is our waiver section for this week. I suppose as a recap, best defensive assets, long term, Reguilon. Short term, obviously your boy Doughty, but kind of the better of the short-term doubles would be the likes of Kabore, Zabarni as always. Going down the list, Nico Williams. And if you really want to take a punt, if every one of these are taken, Vitinho of Burnley looked really attacking. Or short-term midfielders are best options. Ayew if fit, Odegaard if you want to play for 29, and long-term, Doucouré. If you can afford to stack a player, and you'd be in a very good position if you can, Mbeumo, game week 30, is expected to be back.
I might even pick up Mbeumo myself, just because last season I won my draft because of Brian Mbeumo. I know it was against...
All this has been cut out.
Playing against Nolte last year. I know it was against Spurs, and I celebrated Brentford scoring. But yeah, Brian Mbeumo won me a draft last season, so I think it's only right I bring him in again.
So, that is us. And we have to, in advance, apologise to Andy.
Because we
are waking his child up in the car, but FPL draft you out.
Boom!
Boom! Wake up, Andy's son or daughter.